Challenge Cyber Defense.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber Decryption. It's now.
So imagine you're a systems administrator. You're sitting at your desk, sipping your morning coffee, and suddenly your monitoring screens just go completely black.
Oh, wow. Yeah, every IT person's nightmare.
Right. But instead of a standard quiet ransom note demanding crypto, your servers are actively being wiped.
Mm-hmm.
And your phone is just buzzing frantically.
Because the attackers are literally taunting you on Telegram.
Exactly. They're dropping laughing emojis, posting screenshots of your collapsing infrastructure, tagging your boss.
Mm-hmm.
The malicious code is destroying your network, sure. But the real target in that moment isn't the server. The real target is your mind.
I mean, it completely flips the script on what we usually expect from a cyber intrusion.
Yeah.
Historically, the whole point of advanced malware is to stay hidden. You know, like, silence is your best friend.
Right. You don't want to be noticed.
Exactly. But here, the spectacle is the whole point. The
right.
technical disruption is incredibly sophisticated, but it's basically just a delivery mechanism for this massive psychological operation.
Well, welcome to the Deep Dive. This deep dive is presented by the Cyber Intelligence Bureau, which is a division of the Orange Cyber Defense Epidemiology Laboratory.
And our approach here combines OSINT, so open source intelligence techniques, along with HUMINT, which is human intelligence evidence.
Right, which means we're doing investigations of cyber activities that actually include emotional, intelligence, cognitive, and geopolitical analysis of the influences of cyber threats.
Because that specific methodology is really the only way to unpack what we're talking about today.
For sure.
We aren't just looking at the architecture of the malware. We have to examine, like, the emotional and cognitive states of the people deploying it.
And the psychological impact they're trying to inflict on you, the target.
Oh.
So today's mission is exactly that. We're deconstructing a pro-Ukraine hacktivist group known as BO Team, or sometimes they're called Black Owl.
Yeah, Black Owl.
And we want to explore how this specific collective merges advanced cyber warfare with, frankly, highly sophisticated cognitive and emotional manipulation.
But before we get too deep into this, it is really crucial to clarify our lens for today.
Very true.
We are looking at highly charged, active cyber warfare in the Russo-Ukrainian conflict. So putting on our intelligence analyst hats is mandatory here.
Right. We have to be objective.
Exactly. The source material we're analyzing contains politically charged narratives. So we are impartially reporting the analytical intelligence provided in these sources. And we are absolutely not endorsing the viewpoints, actions, or ideologies of any group involved.
We're just here to look at the mechanics of the threat.
Yeah.
So the tone throughout this deep dive will remain factual, restrained, and strictly intelligent analytic.
Perfect.
So let's pull this apart. Because to truly grasp how BO Team manipulates minds, we really first have to map out their technical capabilities.
Right, because you can't wage a psychological war if you aren't a credible technical threat to begin with.
So how did they get to this level? I mean, they didn't just start out like this.
No. If we look at the timeline, BO Team really emerged publicly around early 2024. And if you rewind to the start of the conflict in 2022, the cyber landscape was just highly chaotic.
Oh, totally.
You had this massive decentralized volunteer ecosystem called the IT Army. And it was mostly volunteers doing, you know, relatively basic noisy attacks.
Like BGOS attacks, right?
Yeah, exactly. Distributed denial of service.
Which is just like flooding websites with junk traffic to knock them offline temporarily.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's annoying, sure, but it doesn't leave a lasting mark.
Right. It doesn't degrade military capabilities. It's kind of the digital equivalent of a noisy protest outside a building.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But BO Team evolved out of that chaos into something structurally very different. They matured into a highly organized collective with what analysts call APT-level patience.
APT, so Advanced Persistent Threat.
Exactly.
Okay, let's unpack that for a second. It's like it's like a burglar who doesn't just smash a window, grab your TV, and run.
Right.
Instead, they secretly camp out in your attic for 6 months. They map your daily routine, figure out your security paths, and then calculate exactly which load-bearing walls to knock down for maximum structural damage.
I love that analogy. That attic camp out is the defining characteristic of an APT. Normal hacktivists just don't have that discipline.
Yeah, they want the quick win.
Right. But BO Team uses highly tailored spear phishing emails to get that initial foothold. They're not just sending out generic spam.
Oh, they're tricking people.
Yeah, they craft emails that flawlessly mimic legitimate industrial automation companies to trick specific administrators.
Wow.
And once they're in, their dwell times are incredibly long. They'll just sit silently in the network for weeks or months mapping every dependency before deploying their custom backdoors.
And these backdoors, they have names like Darkgate or Remcos, right?
Yeah.
But what are those actually doing in practice?
Think of a backdoor like leaving a highly secure, invisible service elevator wide open. Darkgate and Remcos are remote access Trojans. They allow the attackers to move laterally through the network, escalate privileges, and quietly steal data without triggering any alarms.
So they use that silent period to find the absolute most critical points of failure.
Precisely. And when they finally pull the trigger, they aren't just taking data and leaving.
They burn the building down on the way out.
Literally. Well, digitally. They use wiping software, like a tool called S-Delete, to permanently destroy backups and virtual infrastructure.
And then sometimes they drop ransomware too, right? Like Babook?
Yep, the Babook variant. Huh. But it's really vital to look at who they point these weapons at. Their target profile is exclusively Russian and Belarusian entities.
Exclusively. So there are no documented European targets at all.
None, which is a massive distinction from pro-Russian groups that frequently go after European or American infrastructure.
BO team is surgically focused then.
Extremely. We're talking state administration, judicial systems. Like, they actually wiped out an estimated 1/3 of Russian electronic court files.
Wait, 1/3? That would completely paralyze legal proceedings.
Yeah, it did. But they also hit the hard military-industrial complex. Things like the Planeta Satellite Research Center and heavy manufacturing.
Like the drone maker Gascar Group, right. And logistics firms like Eltrans Plus.
Exactly. And the industrial targeting is where their technical strategy gets super fascinating. When they target these sectors, they mostly attack the IT infrastructure that supports the OT.
The operational technology.
Yeah.
And SCADA systems.
Right.
Now wait, SCADA systems, those are the actual industrial computers that control physical things, yeah.
Yeah.
Like factory valves or power grids.
Yeah, they're the digital bridge to the physical world. Now, writing custom code to directly manipulate a specific robotic arm is incredibly difficult.
Right, and time consuming.
Yeah, so BO team doesn't usually do that. Instead, they destroy the IT networks, the databases, the backups that keep those physical factories running.
Oh, I see. So if you hit Gascar Group, you aren't just taking down a public website. You're blinding their manufacturing pipeline. If the database that tells the floor which drone propellers go to which assembly station is suddenly wiped, the factory grinds to a halt. Even if the robotic arms are perfectly fine.
Exactly right. The result is total physical paralysis achieved entirely through an IT backdoor.
That is highly efficient sabotage.
It really is.
Okay, so they have the elite technical chops.
Right.
They have the discipline, the patience. But here's where it gets really interesting for me. The technical destruction we just mapped out.
Yeah.
That isn't actually their final goal. It is just the ammunition for their primary weapon, which is psychological warfare.
Right. This is where we pivot from computer science to cognitive science.
All right.
Analysts study the motivations of groups like this using a framework called the Social Identity Model of Collective Action, or SIMCA.
SIMCA, got it.
And this hypothesis suggests that BO team relies on three core psychological pillars: intense moral outrage, a strong social identity, and a high sense of perceived efficacy.
Perceived efficacy. So, meaning the absolute belief that what they are doing is actually causing tangible, painful damage to their adversary.
Exactly. They don't view themselves as hackers. They view themselves as soldiers fighting a digital front of a physical war.
And to fight that war, they use emotional intelligence and NLP, right? Neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes. Now, we have to assess these psychological tactics tentatively as analytical hypotheses, but the evidence in their communication is overwhelming.
So what does that look like?
Well, let's look at cognitive framing. When they wipe a server, they don't describe it as criminal cyber sabotage. They rebrand it using words associated with heroic defense or cleansing.
Ah, okay. So when we say neuro-linguistic programming here, we aren't talking about like stage hypnotism or mind control.
Oh, no, definitely not.
We're talking about incredibly deliberate, specific language choices.
Exactly. They are hacking the vocabulary of the conflict. And this framing is crucial because it eliminates moral dissonance for their operators.
It lets the person at the keyboard execute devastating destruction
while maintaining this pristine self-image of righteousness.
Exactly. They also heavily rely on in-group versus out-group bias.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at their public Telegram channel at BO Team UA, the language is highly polarizing.
Very much so.
They completely dehumanize the adversary, which creates this us versus them absolute that boosts internal team cohesion.
Right. But they don't just use psychology internally. They direct fear appeals and emotional anchoring directly at their victims, too.
So?
Through timing. They'll intentionally time a massive network wipe to coincide with a highly symbolic date, like Ukrainian Armed Forces Day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when you combine the visceral shock of losing your network with an emotionally charged date, you induce what cognitive psychologists call a tunneling attention effect.
Think about the systems you rely on every day. Imagine the psychological toll if the people breaking them were actively timing it to make a political point.
It forces the Russian administrators into a state of paranoia.
Yeah, you overwhelm their cognitive load, so they literally can't effectively respond to the actual hack.
Exactly. It creates an atmosphere where they feel hunted. But the most visible aspect is the public humiliation.
Okay, let me push back on this a little bit, though.
Sure.
If they are so technically skilled and patient, you know, operating at this elite attic burglar level,
yeah,
why do they bother with emojis and public trolling?
It does seem weird.
Yeah. Like when they wiped out the IT provider EFIS service, they didn't just quietly delete backups. They publicly taunted the admins on Telegram, posting laughing emojis, telling them their web domain was for sale.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem counterproductive?
Hmm.
It feels highly unprofessional for a top-tier group.
It looks like trolling from the outside, but you have to recognize the mechanism at play here. The humiliation is the weapon.
Oh, interesting.
It isn't unprofessionalism. It is calculated emotional manipulation. By publicly mocking victims, broadcasting the catastrophic damage on a public channel, they intentionally induce cognitive fatigue and embarrassment.
So they're turning the victim's failure into a public spectacle.
Exactly. They're sending a very clear signal to every other Russian IT admin watching. We are already in your systems. We are better than you. And when we strike, we will make you look foolish.
Wow. It systematically erodes trust in the state's ability to protect its own critical infrastructure.
Exactly.
It's basically the digital equivalent of dropping PSYOPS leaflets over a battlefield to sap morale.
That's a perfect way to put it. And they leverage this exact same psychology internally for recruitment.
Right. The foot in the door technique.
Yes. They don't ask a new volunteer to deploy a complex wiper on day one. They start them on low risk tasks, sharing propaganda, gathering open source intel.
And once the recruit is psychologically invested, feeling that rush of the in-group, they gradually escalate responsibilities.
Ups the ladder to complex sabotage. It's a textbook psychological escalation.
Which builds an army of highly motivated operators. But managing that requires massive coordination.
Oh, absolutely. BO Team doesn't operate in a total vacuum. Their strategic alliances actually amplify their cognitive warfare.
Right, because they maintain a semi-autonomous status. They aren't an official military unit, but they hold these pragmatic, opportunistic alliances.
Like their documented collaboration with Ukraine's main intelligence directorate, the HUR or GUR.
And this is where the geopolitical analysis comes in. Intelligence analysts assess that the state intelligence apparatus likely provides BO Team with high-level target intel.
Right, because the state knows exactly which logistics firm matters most to the physical war effort at any given moment.
And in return, BO Team executes the strike, giving the state a layer of plausible deniability.
Exactly.
But hang on, this is what I don't quite get.
Yeah.
How does a decentralized volunteer group interface with a formal military intel agency without stepping on each other's toes?
It's tough.
It sounds like an impossibly delicate balancing act between state control and hacker autonomy.
It requires immense operational discipline on both sides. The state has to resist micromanaging the hackers, giving them creative freedom for their psychological operations.
And the hackers have to align their chaotic energy with strict military goals.
Exactly. And they also work alongside the Ukrainian Cyber Alliance for joint operations, pooling resources.
Which actually brings us to a really fascinating recent development. In 2026, sources show BO Team started sharing command and control infrastructure with another hacktivist group called Head Mare.
Yes, this looks like a literal cognitive division of labor.
Oh, interesting.
It's a highly efficient hybridization. Conducting a stealthy, months-long infiltration requires a totally different mindset than running a loud, destructive psychological operation.
Right.
and Head Mayor specializes in the quiet part, the complex spearfishing and network navigation. They're the silent lockpicks.
Exactly. And once the door is open, Head Mayor hands the keys to BO Team.
And BO Team acts as the demolition crew. They handle the data destruction, the propaganda, the public humiliation.
Right. Neither group wastes cognitive resources doing the other's job. It maximizes psychological impact while maintaining elite stealth up until the very last second.
Wow. So pulling all these threads together, the evolution, the NLP, the state alliances, what do intelligence analysts hypothesize is their next move?
Well, keeping strictly to the analytical hypotheses based on the evidence, there are two primary scenarios. The most likely hypothesis is essentially a strategy of sustained degradation.
So less like dropping a massive bomb and more like systematically removing the screws from a bridge.
Exactly. You don't see the structural failure instantly, but eventually, under the weight of the war, the logistics infrastructure just collapses.
Death by a thousand cuts.
Exactly. Analysts expect continued hyper-specialized targeting against military-industrial supply chains. Sustained espionage, disruptive strikes, continuously amplified by telegram propaganda.
To maximize that cognitive fatigue, it imposes massive economic costs without crossing into full, undeniable geopolitical escalation.
Right. But then there's the most dangerous hypothesis, termed the critical infrastructure cascade.
Oh, that sounds bad.
It's a far darker scenario where BO Team, or a splinter faction, leverages their shared infrastructure to launch cascading attacks on interconnected critical grids.
We're talking power generation, water treatment, mass civilian logistics, which would trigger massive physical disruption.
And geopolitically, that could easily cross established red lines. A direct attack on civilian infrastructure risks provoking severe kinetic military retaliation.
It's the nightmare scenario.
Completely.
But looking at this critically, there's a massive inherent tension there.
What do you mean?
Well, executing that dangerous scenario would completely undermine their sophisticated narrative framing.
Oh, yeah.
If they cause civilian grid collapses, wouldn't they instantly lose that heroic defender framing that their entire recruitment relies on?
That is a brilliant observation. It highlights the internal guardrails of their own strategy.
Right.
That's exactly why analysts categorize the cascade scenario as the most dangerous, but not the most likely. Their entire cohesion relies on holding that perceived moral high ground.
If they cross the line into mass civilian harm, they become the villains of their own story.
Exactly. It would cause massive internal cognitive dissonance, fracture their social identity, and almost certainly burn their alliances with state sponsors.
Because they're weaponizing psychology, they're ultimately bound by the rules of psychology.
Perfectly said.
So, to summarize the journey we've taken today, BO Team isn't just angry coders writing clever malware. They represent a fundamental shift in how conflicts are fought.
Absolutely. They've seamlessly fused technical deployment of wipers with cognitive manipulation of allies and adversaries.
They've engineered a system where fear, humiliation, and moral outrage are operational assets, deployed just as methodically as backdoors.
Right.
And that brings us to the core takeaway for you, listening right now.
Mm.
Modern conflict is no longer just about who has the thickest firewalls or the most advanced intrusion detection.
None.
The human mind, our emotional responses, our cognitive biases, those are the primary targets now. You can patch a vulnerable server, but you cannot issue a software update for human psychology.
The adversary in the attic isn't just trying to break your house. They're actively trying to convince you that you are powerless to stop them and that the house was never safe to begin with.
Which leaves us with a final lingering question to ponder. If a decentralized group of wartime hacktivists can so effectively weaponize cognitive psychology and NLP alongside malware.
Yeah.
What happens when these exact same psychological warfare tactics are adopted by aggressive corporate competitors or domestic political groups during peacetime?
It really exposes a profound vulnerability in our connected world that goes way beyond any digital network.
Definitely something to think about. Well, thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Stay curious, stay analytical, and we'll see you next time.
The cyber threat analyses you need to know about. Cyber decryption. We'll be talking about it on this channel very soon.
Orange Cyber Defense.